All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the OG Show with COG, TG, some say Too Good. This week, December 2022, Rich or Wrecked. We've got Dan, we've got McCole in the house. Joe Looney might show up. Thanks so much for showing up today. Give us a what's up, Dan and McCole.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Okay. I'm excited to be here.
Same. I love this show, so thanks a lot, and happy holidays, or whatever it is we're celebrating.
happy days. Happy last days of this crazy year.
Yeah, exactly.
We're celebrating everything. We celebrate everything on the OG Show. All right. Yeah, let's get down to it. First topic. In December was Art Basel. There was several art fairs, Untitled Art, Scope, Future Art, Fake Basel, among many others. Dan, what do you think about those particular ones, or if you were at any others, tell us about it, and were they rich or wrecked?
This is going to be a tough one for me. Honestly, I'm just like an overall not fan of Basel, so I would say just like generally absolutely wrecked. But, you know, like there were some incredible things that I did see at Untitled and Scope. The rest of it, you know, I can't say much about. I will say, Theo, you did throw the best event at Basel. And something that I made sure to do, you know, as I did last year, is sort of like check out as many different events as I possibly can during that time. So, you know, it was nice to sort of like be away from like the strip and like Miami Beach proper and like sort of like the sort of sponsored kind of like choreographed events and like actually be at like a legit Rare Pepe party. I mean, you did a great job, man. Honestly, the highlight. So very, very much appreciated.
Thank you. Can you give us, what about ICA and the Pussy Riot thing? How was that?
That event was great. I mean, like, Nadia is fantastic. Like, I've seen her in other venues. I feel like this was a bit, you know, more subdued for a Pussy Riot performance. But it also made sense with the venue. It made sense with ICA. Like, it was nice. It was proper, like. But again, I mean, like, I was going there straight from what you had put together at the Rare Pepe event. And, like, I went back there after ICA shut down. So, you know, I think baseline, like, if it's going to be any sort of, like, crypto art, like, punk-related party, then, like, it should probably go past 10 p.m. So, generally, I will stick with Wrecked, but you did a great job, man.
Thank you. All right, McCole, Art Basel, rich or wrecked, and give us any details why.
I would say actually rich, to be honest, compared to the last Art Basel that I went to, or I mean last year, it was definitely much better in terms of like conversations, events, quality of what has been put on. So in general, I actually enjoyed it. ICA, actually the event with, Pussy Riot, I was also there and it was really, really good. There was an event that Aerist put on with Nancy Baker Cahill and, other artists, which was incredible. We had a FemGen, exhibition, which was a generative art exhibition focused on, female artists. With Art Blocks and Right Click Save, and again, like I think it was really good. I mean, I enjoyed it actually much more than last year. I didn't really see a lot of the like profile picture kind of like manic parties and just not very qualitative events. To be honest, I thought the level was much higher this year.
All right, you heard it here first. It was rich. All right, Joe Looney, I know that you were not, as far as I know, you didn't attend Art Basel, but rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you what I did. I went to the local rivalry college basketball game, and that was really good, I got to say. So if anyone wants to do something else. I wish I was able to go. It looked like a lot of fun. I'm hoping to go next year. I looked like there were a lot of Pepe people there, so.
Tell us about the rivalry game. Who won and who was playing?
It's the annual University of Rhode Island versus Providence College, and it was at URI this year, and I'm a season ticket holder. So, it was URI is not very good this year, unfortunately. It's a rebuilding year, but they hung in there. They didn't get blown out, so it was an entertaining game to watch. And I brought my wife instead of one of my kids, so I got to stay for the whole game this time.
Bonus, right on. All right, I'm going to give the host's opinion here. Okay, we're going to go through see Untitled Art. I didn't make it to that, so I guess I have to say Rec because I wasn't there. But I would say Rich because it was right on the beach. Scope, I would say Rec. I didn't really like very much there. There was a few things I liked there, but it was pretty sterile, I would say, is a good word for it. But I did take a good picture of Eleonora, and she was using it as her profile picture, so that was cool. Future art, I was at the party. The party was really good. I didn't look at any of the art, to be honest, but it was a cool party, good vibe. Fake Basel was awesome. That's where I had my party. It was amazing. ICA with Pussy Riot, totally wrecked because the security wouldn't let me in, even though someone had a ticket for me and was trying to get me in, so that's completely wrecked. And that's Theo Goodman's opinion on Art Basel. All right. On to the next topic, ChatGPT, the AI bot that everyone is raving about and using. Will it and AI in general take over, or is it just another tool for humans? Is the Terminator an AI? Is it like going to be like the Terminator, or is it going to be like AI heaven? ChatGPT, rich or wrecked? Joe Looney.
All right, I'm going to go rich on this one. I've been playing around with it a lot since it released, and I got to say, I don't know if I've ever been as impressed with a piece of technology probably since like learning about Bitcoin itself. It's like it's one of those things you always imagined, like you wished you could do, right? You just like ask the computer something, and it can like give you a like nice detailed response, or generate creative things, or ask you complex questions. I think it's a tool. I think what's going to happen, I think it is going to take over, but not in like a Skynet way. I think it's going to take over in that the people that learn to like leverage it first are going to just pull so far ahead of anyone that's not leveraging it for most things, I would say. So I think my suggestion to anybody would be to start familiarizing yourself with ChatGPT and the other kind of like AI type tools that exist. But ChatGPT is the most impressive by far.
All right. McColt, ChatGPT, rich or wrecked?
Honestly, I haven't used it that much, so I cannot judge fully, but I do think from what I've, you know, the little bit that I've seen and
Did you cut off for me? You did.
Yeah, I can't hear her either right now.
All right, McColt, we're having so I think ChatBDT AI gods blocked you. So try to rejoin because we can't hear you, unfortunately. We'll get to you in the COG backstage just a minute. Dan, ChatGPT, rich or wrecked?
I'm a Joe Looney on this one. I'm super into GPT-3. I've been using it for the film. I've been using DALL-E and like Stable Diffusion and all of that to like just sort of like work through some like inspiration. But I don't know. In general, I think that there will be all of these unintended consequences, right? So like I don't see like a Skynet situation just necessarily coming out of nowhere. But I do think, like Joe was saying, like it will be leveraged for less than, you know, maybe humane means. And I think that like that's something that we sort of have yet to foresee. But, you know, I think when it comes to art, like it's gonna demand like sort of like this existential response from us too. I think we're really actually going to be able to evaluate like the value of human experience, right? Transmuted through art. And like, I think that like there's going to be sort of like organically made movies and synthetically made movies. And we're going to have the same thing for music. And, I think that that's how that plays out is yet to be seen, but I'm super, super excited for it for sure. So very, very rich here.
All right. Nicole is back. Nicole, you want to try again?
I don't know what happened, but my phone literally like heated up and then switched off for like 2 minutes and then switched back on. Anyways.
I think it was because you didn't say something positive about GPT and AI guide.
No, honestly, I think so as well. So I have to be careful of what I'm actually saying. So on this note, definitely rich. I think it's going to be very interesting to see like the applications of it. Personally, like I'm actually looking forward to like using it even on, I don't know, like anything from like, kind of like short form texts, helping, you know, maybe like even curatorially, like writing like texts and stuff like that. Like I think, I want to explore it more. So it's interesting, a bit scary maybe. But I guess that's, you know, where we're going. So it's fine. It's cool. Rich.
All right. I would say rich. I'm not very scared of it at all. It does depend on how you prompt it. It doesn't always give that great of answers in my opinion. I think the scary thing is when people think it's, I've already seen it on Twitter, people are saying, I thought I'd give ask ChatGPT this question since they don't have any bags and they're not going to be biased. But it's not going to, it is kind of biased based on the data that it got. So it's kind of, I think for those kind of questions, it's not good. I did ask it, you know, what are the best podcast topics? But we'll see how that goes. And I think so far, no one here on the panel today has used ChatBDC to prompt their answer that they've given. So I want to applaud that. I can just kind of tell by the answers that you've given. But who knows? Maybe if you're too busy to, you know, think and you want to do two podcasts at once or something, you could just fire up ChatBDC and get it to prompt your answers. But that could lead down a really slippery slope there. So, but I think in general, I mostly have just used it for fun stuff like the Trump voice or, you know, those funny videos and stuff like that. So it's been mostly an entertainment tool for me. And I think that's what I see most people using it as. So it's just kind of a entertainment tool. I don't know what teachers are going to do about homework because I've seen some pretty decent results for just like general homework for kids. So yeah, I guess this is our future and let's see what happens, but I'm going to give it a rich this time. All right. Next topic. OpenSea confirms ban on Cubans. There was a Cuban, I think it's called Cuban.art, and it was, the profile was taken off OpenSea and it was, and also apparently other artists that are just Cuban nationals that are in the U.S. were also banned from OpenSea. And, you know, OpenSea is just like, look, we're just following the rules. So, okay, Nicole, what do you think? Rich or wrecked?
Well, definitely wrecked. I think it's awful, to be honest. And it's not only Cubans, actually. There's a lot of artists that get banned from OpenSea. Because of their kind of like policies. There was actually an exhibition that is taking place in Manchester, with like all of the, it's called Unbanned. I think it's called Unbanned. I need to double check, but it's basically like including all artists from Iran, from like a lot of different places that have been banned in some way or the other from OpenSea. I mean, of course, like, you know, we're here talking about, you know, empowering artists, like decentralization. This is absolutely against everything that the space was built on. So definitely wrecked. And also, like, just shows, I mean, realistically, it shows how, you know, like, nothing really in this space, especially these platforms, is decentralized at all. And the fact that we're relying so heavily on OpenSea and affecting, and a decision like this affects so much the space and the artists and creators is a problem. So, yeah, wrecked.
Damn. Rich or wrecked?
Absolutely wrecked. I have very little to add there. I think if you're in touch with artists from any country that's been banned from OpenSea, then you're well aware of the issues. And I mean, yeah, it sucks. The one thing that I am looking forward to is you know, a marketplace that is created that sort of directly speaks to these limitations that OpenSea is sort of now really showing. So yeah, wrecked, not much to add.
Ban is live on air calling for a total illegal marketplace for all banned people, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. I think that, totally wrecked. But you know what? Any company that's US-based is going to have the same problem, and maybe any company that just has U.S. people owning it, or probably not part of the team, but owning it, might also have the same problem. On the other hand, I'm just wondering, you know, do these people not know how to use a VPN or anything like that? But I think in this concrete case, it's the project was openly saying, you know, it's from Cuba, et cetera, and that's on, you know, one of the embargo lists. So OpenSea really doesn't have a huge choice since they're a U.S. company. So, we should be able to solve this problem pretty easily, right? We have all the tools. I guess you could just mint on Manifold. Joe Looney, I didn't get to you. Rich or wrecked?
I'm going to say that it's both. Wrecked, obviously, because anybody that's getting screwed over that doesn't kind of know their way around kind of to bypass some of those, like you said, don't running a VPN, but it's obviously if it's openly something that a U.S. company can't do business with, then obviously they're going to not be able to. But I think Rich in the fact that like these kind of things need to happen for people to realize like why do we Bitcoin? Why do we crypto? Right? Like if it was just any other kind of platform that we were doing it with, the novelty is that it is like censorship resistant networks, and like you kind of need to be reminded of that every once in a while. So I mean, obviously sucks for people that it affects, but you kind of need those reminders to show like what I'd like to see is that those artists then kind of start something else or sell in a different way or do something else to show like that there are ways around like going through these centralized businesses like an OpenSea or something like that, that have these run contracts that like are completely like run by like admin keys can be changed and this and that. So do things that way. So yeah, I think we need that reminder.
Good point, Joe. Yeah, people need to feel pain before they change a lot of the time. That's just how it is. But hopefully, and I think we will see more people get profiles and people get banned from OpenSea or other platforms based solely on their nationality or geolocation. And people will find other solutions. There's definitely ways of getting around it, that's for sure. All right, I want to thank everyone that's listening live right now in the space. Dan Anderson, you left. I'm going to remember that. Sean, Emperor's Trash, everyone else, thanks so much. All right, on to the next topic. OpenSea, new royalties policy, goes into effect January 2nd. So there's this really big update that's going to happen, and there's this new thing, royalty filter. It's kind of hard to explain in a short form, but basically, if you have royalties on OpenSea, you need to do something before the end of the year, before this goes into effect. And it seems like it should be straightforward, but it's pretty complicated. And I'm not sure a lot of people are going to be ready for it. So, McCall, what do you think? Rich or wrecked?
Again, wrecked. I mean, the idea that artists are, you know, this policy basically allows to, like, blacklist collectors and, like, platforms and, you know, to essentially for, it's completely, like, I don't want to, you know, have any bad words, but it's just, like, again, like, something that is completely against the whole idea of the space. And to be honest, like, in a way, I do think there's a lot of problems with royalties anyways, like deeper than this. I don't think royalties are as sustainable and like a long lasting kind of like ever solving problem that we and a lot of artists initially like fought so. And like it's kind of the NFT space decided, you know, when everybody gets into the NFT space, they're like, oh yeah, because royalties are enforced and, you know, they're in perpetuity. And it's actually not the truth. Like, you know, over-the-counter trades happen all the time. A lot of collectors don't respect royalties if they don't want to. There's a lot of ways to not do that. So I think on the one hand, it does kind of open up the possibility and the option for artists to, again, like educate themselves and think about other solutions. But still, the idea that you can like blacklist people and collectors is just wrong. On all levels. And I think like Manifold actually posted yesterday a reminder that if you if artists want to create a Manifold contract, basically they can do that before the 2nd of January, and it kind of overcomes this policy that is taking place. But yeah. Overall wrecked.
Right on. Dan, what do you think? Rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I'm also wrecked on this one. But more generally speaking, I just wish like the comms from OpenSea like was just handled a bit more responsibly just throughout. I just like have the feeling that like the comms team is run by like a group of adolescents like out of someone's basement. And like that I really just sort of can't stand. Like sort of like going back to like the last point, it's like we need an alternative that is like both more responsible, but also like really speaking to a particular value system, that isn't just like this sort of like traditional, like bottom line, sort of like the least that you can expect from any sort of company. And like, I just feel like that's what we keep seeing from this team, with like the higher hopes, you know. And again, like we just said, I feel like we have the tools at our disposal. Like we can build new marketplaces. I mean, you know, people have done it in this room. So it's like, I'm excited for what the next marketplace looks like, that's really speaking to those particular values that crypto was born from. So yeah, wrecked here.
Right on. Yeah. Sometimes I think, the more funding you get, the worse your communications become. And I think for OpenSea, that's been the case. Joe Looney, rich or wrecked?
I'm a little confused as to, like, what the new policy actually is. You know, like, what...
Everyone is confused. I think, basically, if you don't override the new policy by January 2nd, then the new policy is in place, and the new policy can blacklist different things. I've been trying to understand it myself, to be honest. It's a little bit complex, but it's a slippery slope, like McCall was basically saying.
Are they asking for people to update contracts?
You have to kind of, I don't know if you just have to mint You don't have to update the contract, but you have to like mint between now and or an older date between then and December 2nd in order to be to override it, basically. So that OpenSea is updating one of their many contracts.
So, yeah, this is where I'm confused. Like, are they saying the old contracts, like, you just have to take down your old, like, sell orders and put them back up after January, whatever?
I don't think you have to do that. I understood that you need to mint. And yeah, we have, thanks, someone posted it in our thread. So we can also revisit this at the end. If, well, I guess you don't have a chance to read it while you're on the air. But yeah, basically Manifold and a few other people have posted these things basically saying you need to do A, B, C so that you can override it. And if you don't, then you're going to be under the new policy. And yeah, that's basically.
Oh, so they're saying for all contracts going forward.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
So
correct.
All contracts after the 2nd of January, the policy goes is in play, basically. It's applied. But everything minted before, no.
And you have to put in something that blocks other marketplaces?
Well, no, it's not like you have to. They do it for you. It's automatic. Like, it's so, there.
Exactly. And there's this new, man, what is it called? There's like a coalition of marketplaces that are like operating this filter and the Institute, Cori Institute. And, you know, they have good intentions. I've checked out their site and stuff, but it's going to get really slippery, I think.
So, yeah, that's. I think it goes. I think what's so interesting is it goes to what are NFTs? Like, it kind of gets, because if it would be like if you're like making some sort of physical object, and it like it's just gonna like what like self destruct if like the wrong person picks it up or something like.
Yeah.
It's just like a very weird. It's a very weird thing that if, like, if the goal of these things are to be, like, digital things or like, digital op, like, to then have to install, like, change the DNA of them or something is kind of, I'm assuming you have to issue something beyond January 2nd. You have to include this particular, like, function within your contract, I guess, right?
Well, that's, they're automatically including this filter, so it's a kind of filter that they are going to introduce.
You mean that. If you create something through OpenSea?
Yeah, I think yes. Well, that's a good question. I don't think it's if you mint it. I think it's just the sale. I think if you just sell something through OpenSea, that's a really good.
Even if you sell, like, it's everything. You don't necessarily have to mint through OpenSea. I think if it goes through OpenSea, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you, I think stuff like this, it kind of, it might drive kind of wedge in between what are like NFTs that are actually not really yours. And NFTs that are like really yours to do what you want with them.
Exactly.
And I think, I mean, that might be what we need going forward so that there is these better distinctions. Like if these are like digital things, you should be able to do whatever you want with them. And if OpenSea is not going to let you sell something because you didn't like put some self-destruct kind of, I mean, it's not self-destruct, obviously. It's like to sell within certain marketplaces, but I mean, all that means, the only reason you would do that is so you can blacklist marketplaces, because there's no other reason to do it. It's interesting. I mean, it goes back to like royalties in general and the fact that they're not really enforceable, unless you kind of remove the ability to send, NFTs around. So, I think it's just kind of the, in the like that you have, like, NFTs have to go through to kind of separate ones that are more censorship resistant and ones that are less.
Yeah, I'm going to say wrecked. I'm going to agree with pretty much what Joe was saying. I think it really does beg the discussion about royalties in general, and I think that's good. I think that royalties are just at odds with digital bare assets in general, because it's, like Joe said, it's kind of like NFT with an asterisk or NFT with a string attached, you know, so that's what this is doing. It's just building a kind of walled, the beginning of a walled garden within different systems. And then that's going to have some unintended effects that people, I think, don't realize. So that's why I've been. So if you want to read about it, I wrote a really long thing. You can check out Thea Goodman Medium blog. I wrote about it. And, yeah. Anyway, wrecked. All right, on to the next topic. Free mints. It's all the rage right now. Do they fill the market with supply and dilute the value of NFTs, or are they in the spirit of expression? Free mints, rich or wrecked? Nicole?
This is a tough one. I think a little bit of both. Like, on the one hand, rich because, you know, artists are free to do whatever they want. And that's, you know, the nature of also, like, being in the space. If they want to do free mints and open editions, then by all means do it. It does give an opportunity actually to a lot of people to collect work that maybe they can't afford otherwise. And so maybe you actually gain collectors that in the future could become paid collectors as well, that actually decide to support you, or even just, if not like monetary, they support whatever you're doing with like retweets and, you know, social media, kind of support and, that type of contribution. On the other hand, a little bit wrecked because they definitely can, you know, fill the market with too much of a supply, and then you end up with, you know, loads of like tokens that are maybe completely useless and don't even have much value. But actually, like, overall, I think if I had to choose, I would say rich.
All right, you heard it here first. Rich, yes, you have to choose rich or wrecked, and you did. Thank you. Dan, rich or wrecked?
I'm going to say rich on this one for sure. You know, I think that, like supply isn't so much an issue, right? It's like it's never bad to make art and, you know, try and get it out there. I think it's, like, incumbent on the people, you know, minting it, claiming it is theirs, to sort of, like, figure out why they minted it or why they're owning this thing. And I think, you know, when it comes to like onboarding people and like helping people figure out how to enter this space, which is like something that like I'm sort of concerned with on the daily, I feel like the easiest way is to sort of send them a link to something that is free to mint. And like, then they can go through the process and, you know, it's much more simple. There's much less friction. And then, you know, I think of artists like Robbie Barrett, you know, early on, and sort of like talking about like using blockchain tech as a means of distributing his work, and like that really being the intention early on. And I love that. I think that like, that there's something very pure in that. And I can't say that like, that's what every artist is doing when they're like, hey, like mint my stuff for free right now. But I think that there are, you know, a handful of people really still trying to disseminate their work and be seen in like a very natural way. And it's a great way to do it. So I'm definitely going to say rich.
Joe Looney, free mints, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I'm going rich. I love getting free stuff. So I certainly wouldn't want people to stop doing that. No, I think it's a great idea. I think we saw that a lot in Rare Pepe days. Kind of, they weren't mints, but it was people airdropping Pepes and stuff. I mean, I think that's all kind of part of the fun. So yeah, I think that we should encourage stuff like that. I mean, I think it's probably a good way for artists to come into NFTs to just, I mean, give them away. That, like, I mean, what better way to kind of like build your audience if they get something for free that's cool, and then you kind of build off of that. So yeah, no, I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Rich, and like Joe was saying, you know, I've given away a bunch of Pepes over the years. And it's not a free mint per se. It's not the same thing, but you know, definitely gave away. And of course, on Rare Pepe Wallet has the first ever NFT gift card feature, underused, but I've used it a little bit during Christmas. And yeah, I think like everyone was saying, it's a good way to get your stuff out there. So I wouldn't say it's wrecked. I think that just like AI and other tools, you could use it in a wrecked way. That's definitely possible. But I think, as they are, definitely not wrecked. All right, you heard it here first. Theo Goodman said, "Rich, Freeman's rich." I have seen a lot of some artists basically rag on Freeman's, and so that's why I brought it as a topic. And yeah, if you're listening, I just want you to, I think artists like ragging on, I call it format dogma, like, oh, Freeman's are bad, AI is bad, this contract is bad, you're minting on the wrong chain. I think that's not the way forward. I don't think that's a real good argument. It's just like you use the wrong paintbrush, basically. So format dogma wrecked, Freeman's rich. All right, everyone in the audience, we do have one more topic on tap for today, but in the audience, if you have a topic from December that you want to bring up and you want to say if it's rich or wrecked, I will give a short period of time where people can request to be on the OG show. It's your chance. So get your ideas ready, and you might be on the OG show soon. All right. Copy or imitation or remix or parody. A recent artwork by Manchester United, the football team, seems to have copied, or at least has very strong aesthetics similar to the work by the artist Lucree. On top of that, the works in question were part of a partnership between the Tezos Foundation and Manchester United. Copy? Scam? Mistake? Or blatant cash grab by Tezos Foundation? What's going on here? McCall, rich or wrecked?
I'm always first, but so
you want to be last?
Wrecked. I think it's wrecked. Yeah, I've kind of followed this quite a bit because I had a lot of like group DMs that were speaking about this. Obviously, a very badly played out strategy. Like probably from what I know, from what I followed, also like reading what Arthur Braitman, the chair of the Tezos Foundation, actually then went on to write and tweet, he had no idea. So the Tezos Foundation supposedly had no idea. So I think it was their marketing agency that managed this whole thing, which obviously is a complete utter mistake that they did, and I think they're now in the process of actually speaking to the artist and like working with him. So yeah, I mean, I don't even know how they could have not like just went directly to the artist and not noticed what they were doing. It just baffles me, especially for like a collaboration like this with like Man United. So definitely wrecked.
Dan, rich or wrecked?
Uber wrecked. Uber wrecked. yeah, like, so Tezos is, like, really sort of, you know, they are pushing this idea that, like, they still are very art-centric, and they are here for the artists, and they're at the forefront of, like, this sort of, like, new crypto art movement. And I love a lot of that, actually. I love minting on FX Hash, like, I love a lot of the work that artists are doing there. And I'll continue to collect there for sure. This like sort of like partnership, it was a bit strange to me. It was like sort of, it kind of came out of nowhere. And maybe I sort of like missed the press release on it, but just like seeing the art, yeah, it's just apparent that like no one really sort of cross-checked anything. And just to see how a partnership sort of like could unfold like that, to me, it just like it sort of like reeks of sort of the traditional world again, and like how partnerships typically go down. You see this all the time. And again, with a foundation that is sort of so artist-centric. And I've talked to a few people at the foundation. I know a few players there, you know, pretty well. I was surprised to see it. It was handled by the artist phenomenally, though, I thought, and like just with such class. And like that's really cool to see. And I do hope that like there's going to be a pretty fruitful resolution. It does seem like people are talking, which is good. So that is maybe a bit newer than how something like this would traditionally be handled. So maybe that is a positive spin, but still totally wrecked.
Joe Looney, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I mean, obviously wrecked. I mean, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it's like a direct ripoff. It makes me wonder if they were like confused and the partnership was like, oh, just go on Tezos and find some art to use. Cause that looks like exactly what they did. Yeah, it is weird. It seems just very strange. I feel like it's so bad. It must have been some miscommunication or something. But yeah, it's odd. But I think what it does show is kind of the power of like social media and stuff, where they can instantly get called out and then they have to respond. And there's like clearly no hiding that it's like a direct ripoff of this other artist. So yeah, no, I think, guys, just go in the other room. Yeah, no, I think it's I think it's definitely wrecked. I hopefully find out more of the story and how exactly that happens. I think that might be like pretty interesting, just because it is such a blatant ripoff of like a very like specific style of art. So yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I agree with you. It looks like they just got confused and chose something from Tezos in general. I was thinking maybe they used AI, and that's what they said. They told the AI, they said, we want a Tezos NFT, and that's what came up. And they're like, great, because it's not exact copy, but it's very, very, very similar. So maybe the AI just did, you know, they prompted the AI, I want a cool skull NFT from Tezos blockchain or something like that. And then boom, they got that. So it could be that. It's probably more what you said, Joe, where they just chose something by mistake, a real bad miscommunication. But yeah, I'm going to say wrecked. And it is good that there is an update. There is communication between the artists, Manchester United, and Tezos Foundation. They're going to figure something out. In general, amazing that this could have ever happened. Totally wrecked. All right, studio audience, in the Twitter spaces, if you have something rich or wrecked from December, now's the time to request speaker. Panel, if you have something rich or wrecked from December, now's your time to say so. Anyone? No bonus topics today from anyone? And no one has requested. So you still have time to request if you think of something in the meantime. We're going to go through. Now it's your time to shill, panel. Joe Looney, where can we find you? What do you want to shill today? Take it off.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, which is where everyone already is, so that's easy. But I would say some big news today. Dan Darkville has created a new set of Pepes, which is pretty phenomenal. So, check that out. I'll probably tweet something about that once we're done here. But, if anyone doesn't know who Dan Darkville is, he's just like legendary anonymous Bitcoiner has been around for years and made some of the early rare Pepes. And I don't think he's made any since 2016. So yeah, so these Pepes are, they're something. I don't even want to describe them. I think everyone needs to go check them out for themselves. So I'll post something about it, shortly.
Right on. Wow, I'm really surprised because he was really, really ragging on fake rares, how it's like diluting the supplies of Pepes and stuff. So, but I guess he's come around over time. All right, Nicole, where can we find you and what do you want to show today?
Well, you can find me on Twitter as everybody else. What do I want to show? Well, we have Vertical Crypto Art. We just launched a couple of weeks ago a gamified generative art project called Fragments, and it's pinned on our profile. It's kind of a game, an experiment that we're doing with dynamic NFTs. You can essentially combine them to try to create and complete full faces and ultimately a full cube, and then get on a leaderboard, which will have some rewards. It's a very interesting project. It's a very fun game. We've had quite a bit of action in the last couple of weeks of people playing and kind of like bumping each other up and down the leaderboard every couple of days. So I would love if you want to try it out, test it out, let us know what do you think, and give us feedback as well.
Thank you. Hey, Nicholas, I see you. We'll get to you in just a second, okay? Dan, where can we find you, and what do you want to show today?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. And then you can also find me by my and that is also on Twitter, at newhere.xyz, and online at newhere.xyz. You can look at it. I've actually interviewed Joe, quite a few of the Pepe collectors, and a lot of people throughout the space. So yeah, feel free to check that out. Hit me up with questions. And yeah, thanks for having me, Theo.
Right on, right on. Newhere.xyz, you heard it here first. All right, Nicholas has a Richer Erect from December. Nicholas, you're on the mic.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the Man United drop. Just wanted to throw you guys a curveball. I mean, I'm definitely a LaCresh fan. You know, I don't mean really any disrespect or anything like that. But, I mean, doesn't LaCresh do it? Isn't his work a derivative off of X-Copy's work? So what's really the problem with Man United, you know, doing a derivative as well?
That's a good question. I thought that it does look similar to that X-Copy style. All right. What do you think? Well, McCole went first a bunch. Joe, what do you think? Is it just another derivative?
I think that's a great point. I think when you're going to make the case that it's a derivative, like, I think you need to kind of do a little bit of original content. I think just slapping a Man U logo on there probably isn't enough. Mike, the chief Rare Pepe scientist, would be the best one to ask about this, as that was kind of his job for a couple years to really figure out what's good enough to be derivative and what doesn't have enough original content in it. But no, I think it's a good point. I mean, a lot of the stuff is just derivatives on derivatives on derivatives, so. You're certainly going to find yourself in that kind of conversation.
Dan, derivative of derivative or ripoff?
Yeah, no, very good question. I mean, I think, from what I've seen of Lucree's like series, like the works do sort of stand on their own as their own set, for sure inspired by like the glitch art of X-Copy. And I mean, like X-Copy, I think in so many ways is like inspired probably waves to come of artists, right? So we're going to see sort of like that influence in so many ways. I think for me, like the problem really lies like relative to the other logo in the partnership, right? It's like, it's not like, it's not like a kid using this art, like to sell some magazines and they've printed like 20 copies of them on like their, you know, like the parent Xerox machine. It's not that. It's like Manchester United is such a protected logo in of itself. Like there are dozens of lawyers surrounding it. And it's just like, if they're going to commission something or do a partnership with an artist, then like, in my opinion, the art should probably be as original, and sort of like stand alone as that logo and protected kind of in that way, if that makes sense. It shouldn't be like looked at and be like, oh, like this was just ripped off from some artist that didn't get paid. While, you know, clearly there's a ton of money backing the Manchester United logo.
Right on. And Nicole, last this time.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like the artist is De Lucrece or Des Lucrece. I don't know how to say it correctly, but and his work is actually not CC0. So like, I mean, it's a blatant like ripoff. I mean, like I just posted like a pin to Fred, and it's exactly the same artwork. So considering like how the Tesla Foundation has gone about positioning themselves, as Dan was saying before, like for the arts and for the artists and blah, blah, blah. I think probably, yeah, they should have thought a little bit better about this and just asked permission even, you know, like if they wanted to use it, just say, hey, can we use your artwork? Simple as that. But yeah, that didn't happen.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Nicholas, for your question. And it says that you're a NASCAR champion. Can you just give us, like, a quick rundown of...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, with the AI tools that we got today, you know, I'm able to share, you know, photographic memories with you guys that I got the experience back in the 90s. So, you know, my house burned down. There's a bunch of memorabilia. My pet cat, Bruce, is in there. You know, I'm able to take some of those memories and share it with you guys. So that's just what I'm doing here, and having a hell of a time.
Well, sorry to hear about the fire, and glad that you're able to share some of that with us. Looking forward. All right, everyone, that was The OG Show, December, Rich or Rat.